And good morning. It's KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Minute before 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning, we're about a half hour away from Per Fogring and Fight the Empire. Today, Per interviews John Pfeffer about his recent article, Splinterlands, The View from 2050. At 10 o'clock today, Air Cascadia will host, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. It'll be 10:15 for Flashpoints, and then at 11, Between the Covers with host David Naiman. Today, speaking with writer Valeria Luisella about her novel, The Story of My Teeth. That's all coming up this morning, right after we hear from Teresa Mitchell with Press Watch. It's the news you're not supposed to know. That's coming up next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Circus Church, Sunday, November 22nd, 9 p.m. at the Funhouse Lounge in Portland. There will be burlesque performers, circus artists, vocalists, audience games, confessions, and more. Again, that's Circus Church, Sunday, November 22nd, 9 p.m. at the Funhouse Lounge, 2432 Southeast 11th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm. on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Two in the morning, and this is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, in case you haven't been able to catch the headlines, from Euronews.com, officials have confirmed Abdelhamid Abaoud, the suspected mastermind of last Friday's attacks, was killed in the dawn raids on Saint-Denis on Wednesday. His body was discovered in a building riddled with bullets, according to a statement from a Paris prosecutor. The news was greeted by applause in France's National Assembly. Commentators believe it represents a breakthrough as the Belgian militant was regarded as an individual of great importance in the so-called Islamic State. Shootout in the northern suburb of the French capital centered on the building where Abaoud was holed up. Reports have suggested the female suicide bomber who blew herself up was his cousin. And on and on. You can find that at Euronews.com. I would suggest that it's not such a great victory since he's completely dead and they can't ask him any questions at all. Bernie Sanders is upsetting National Public Radio. He's going to talk about socialism. Yeah, you heard right. He is going to get on a podium, even after the corporate-owned news has been forced to say his name out loud several times over the last couple months, and he's going to talk about socialism. Socialism. On NPR's daily Hosanna to Capitalism marketplace, they're just about doing backflips. They're quoting some professor saying Bernie would get an F in his class defining socialism. Kai Rizdal will have to be put on a defibrillator. Did I say socialism? Socialism! Oh my God! Bernie Sanders has got his name on bumper stickers across the United States and he's going to give an address on socialism. Call the police. Call the Pentagon. Scramble air interceptors. Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity. I mean, it's just absurd. Now, Bernie Sanders is for the F-35 and drones and, you know, his, and he throws these He threw a dog whistle to the Pentagon when he's saying we should have more of the Saudis doing stuff in the Middle East. I mean, that's what they plan to do. That's what's going on. That's the largest arms sale in history. That disgusting theocracy is doing the will of the Pentagon now. And, you know, Bernie's okay with it. He's not going to take on the Pentagon. And, you know, maybe he's just decided that there's no way he'd get enough power to do it. I don't think Obama has enough power to do it. I think maybe Kennedy tried. We know what happened to him. But today, Bernie Sanders is going to talk about socialism. Now, I can think of at least three reasons this is upsetting to the right. And actually, NPR is the right. We're used to thinking of them as moderates or not committed or something like that. No, they're absolutely tied with corporate capitalism. More on that a little later in the show. But three reasons I can think of. First, as I was saying, Bernie Sanders has got some name value now. People know who Bernie Sanders is. What's he about? Well, I don't know. It has something to do with socialism. Oh my God, socialism. And so he's going to double down. So Bernie Sanders has got name value, and he's going to talk about socialism. That scares the crap out of him. The other reason is because we have a whole generation of people who were born after it was, you know, so well done and so carefully crafted the United States that everyone jumped and turned sideways at the mention of socialism, which was like communism, which meant that you're going to have to eat cold borscht and wear furry hats for the rest of your life. If you didn't, you know, join in the chorus and shout down socialism, which you weren't even supposed to talk about very much at all. It's just one of those words, you know. Oh my God, what a dirty word. I mean, I've been an anarcho-socialist. I was an anarcho-socialist in Texas 30 years ago. And man, people just balled up their fists when you talked about that sort of thing. And but now we've got a generation that they're like, what? Socialism? I'm supposed to hate that, right? I mean, they don't care. Why should they? So that's two reasons. And the third reason is this economy is screwed and everyone's starting to catch on. Yeah. Yeah, you really can't get a job and it affects so many issues. It's like, why can't anyone but very highly educated, you know, white people without the least mark on their record get a job? Why can't new graduates get a job? Why can't minorities get a job? Why can't anybody have a job? Because there's no jobs, that's why. So what happens under socialism? Well, things could happen. Depends on how far you want to take it, doesn't it? Socialism. Socialism. So I love this. You know, it's like, Bernie makes me want to puke on imperialism. But when it comes to socialism, well, he's got a pretty good angle on this. And, you know, he's going to get up to Georgetown University at 11 a.m. Pacific time, and he's going to invoke FDR and Eisenhower, and he's going to point out that we have socialized roads, and we have socialist fire departments, and we have socialist police departments. Everybody pays for them, everyone uses the service. Oh, no. And he's going to explain socialism to the American people, and it's possible some people will listen to him. Won't someone stop him? Socialism. Now, if you want to watch that address live at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. East Coast, you'll be at Georgetown University. Well, good luck finding the link. Yeah. Actually, you can find it at the New York Times article on this. If you Google, I don't want to use that term. If you use a search engine, not Google, use DuckDuckGo, and put in socialism and Bernie Sanders and address in Georgetown University, you'll probably find it. The other way is I am on Facebook, actually. So if you'd like the NSA to track your thoughts, well, just pull up Facebook. And I used to be under Press, first name Press, last name Watch, and they finally caught me. And so now I'm Teresa Mitchell on Facebook, although I think if you put it in Press Watch, it'll just redirect. And let's see, I'm on Twitter, and I did put in this. I don't use Twitter very much, and I kind of tend to forget how to use it. I need to spend 2 hours of my life learning how to use this that everyone else uses. But I did twat. I'm sorry. I'll clean it up, and I'll try not to do that very often. But I twatted the link, which is Georgetown KBU.edu. Don't even try. You can't. I don't know how to figure it out. But the link itself, which you can click on, is on my tweet, and that's on KBOO Press Watch. KBU Press Watch is the tag, the moniker, the whatever it is you call it on Twitter. So you can do it that way. So you can find it on Facebook and find it on Twitter. And Bernie Sanders is just, he's causing trouble. So more news. The time is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock on a rainy Thursday morning. A massive glacier in northeast Greenland. Yeah, this is another one. It's got a name. It's called the Zachari Istrom Glacier. And it has come loose from a stabilizing sill and is rapidly melting into the North Atlantic Ocean. According to a new study, Zachari Istrom Glacier began at an accelerated retreat in 2012. This is from Christian Science Monitor, and is currently melting at a rate of 5 billion tons per year, according to NASA, JPL, University of Kansas, and University of California, Irvine. This spells bad news, they write, for sea level rise, because Zachari Istrom Glacier is big, the size of Maine, and could raise global sea levels by more than 18 inches if it melts completely. Zachari Istrom senior author Dr. Eric Rigneault says in a press release, Zachari Istrom is being hit from above and below. The top of the glacier is melting away as a result of decades of steadily increasing air temperatures, while its underside is being compromised by currents carrying warmer ocean water. And that's the end of that quote of him. And they write, and it's speeding up. Oh, and would you like to protest this? And would you like to go to Paris and demonstrate peacefully in the streets? Well, you can't, because you might be a terrorist or the term. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Jack Rasmus reports in Counterpunch, the TPP agreement just released is a document of 5,000 plus pages. There are 30 separate chapters, not counting special annexes and schedules. There's a secret guidance document not yet released, which apparently even members of the U.S. Senate still haven't seen. According to U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, of course, there are official executive summaries of the 5,000 pages, notably by U.S. Trade Representative's Office and statements by President Obama, but readers won't find out what the TPP is really about in these documents, which are designed to market TPP to the public. Would you like to be market? Here, let me market you. Let's get market. I think we've been marketed. But returning to the text, in fact, these four public consumption puff pieces are replete with misrepresentations, spin, and outright lies. However, one statement by Obama is correct. He calls TPP a new type of trade agreement. And Rasmus writes, it's a new type, all right. It's not simply an economic document about trading goods, services, and investor money capital flows. TPP is first and foremost a political document. TPP is the latest salvo fired by global corporations against national and popular sovereignty. That's you, against democracy. Democracy itself, he writes. The key to understanding how TPP is about global corporations setting up their own global government is contained in chapters 27 and 28. Please pick up your hymnals. In chapter 27, TPP provides... attack everywhere by corporate money and other initiatives. And in chapter 28, in your hymnals, TPP provides for a new kind of global corporate court system run by corporate friendly lawyers and hirelings. It's like lawyers aren't corporate friendly enough. And hirelings who will make decisions which cannot be reviewed, appealed, or challenged in existing court systems of any TPP member country. TPP courts will take precedent over U.S. and national court systems again. Like they're not right wing enough. No, they're not. Not for this. Returning to the text, already under heavy attack by corporate forces vigorously promoting arbitration as a means by which to bypass the formal judicial system in the U.S. and much more of that article in counterpunch.org by Jack Rasmus, R-A-S-M-U-S. 14 minutes after the top of the hour, you're listening to KBOO Portland, of course. Not going to hear this talk somewhere else. I was tuning in to the, the calmer, whiter version of this radio station. And they were talking about homelessness, and it was a serious discussion by someone who was just a couple years ago promoted as needing to be on this station. who says, well, the discussion was generally about how, you know, by 2025, we could, if we really, you know, if we really want to, we could halve homelessness. Oh, wow. Yeah, half homelessness? We have an outrageous situation of people on the streets literally getting rained on. So this host then, you know, mentions about, he starts framing it as it's a mental health issue. No, it's not. It's an economics issue. It's an economics issue as in we need socialism. Want to hear about socialism? Bernie Sanders is going to talk about socialism. Socialism. Today, 11 a.m., pull up KBOO Press Watch on Twitter. Get the link. Click the link. Watch Bernie Sanders. I know I gag a little bit saying that, but, you know, hey, how many opportunities do I get to say there's going to be a major address on socialism? You know, the thing is, he gets to talking about this. Other people are going to start talking about this. It's the whole let the cat out of the bag thing that the right wing and NPR is terrified of. Oh, my God, they're terrified. The way they framed this yesterday. I mean, what I found out about it was listening to NPR. And they're frightened. And it's just wonderful. I mean, for me, this is a wonderful morning. I love this. There's so much going on. Hard to pick a topic, though, of course, I have to comment on the Paris horror and the imperial warmongering that is inevitably followed. For example, we have to endure the wretchedly humiliating scene. I mean, just the loss of dignity. The loss of dignity of 30 or so U.S. state governors piping up to say that even the tiny amount of refugees that the U.S. proposes to take would be too threatening to them. And this explosion of hillbilly xenophobia follows on the unblinking acceptance of the idea that the Paris attackers were refugees, which in turn is based on a tired and already exposed propaganda stunt, namely the convenient and amazingly undamaged passport that just happened to be found on the scene. In 2001, it was Saddam al-Sakami's passport. Anyone remember that? Miraculously appearing intact like the undeformed bullet on President Kennedy's gurney so that a mysterious someone could hand it to authorities at the scene of the New York Trade Tower's demolition. Quoting the article by 21st Century Wire on globalresearch.ca, just like with the London 7-7 bombings, which coincided perfectly with the G8 summit in Glen Eagles, Scotland, last week's Paris attacks were timed with the G20 summit in Istanbul, elevating the war on terror, now rebranded as the war on ISIS, to the top of the West international and military agenda. Once again, job done. Now France is locked down in a state of emergency, effectively under martial law. And 21st Century Wire reports, writes, immediately after the Paris attacks on November 13th, Friday the 13th, French authorities and mainstream media wasted no time in expediting the crucial talking point that a Syrian passport was found either on or near the body of one of the alleged suicide bombers near the Stade de France. Alleged suicide bombers outside the Stade de France sporting arena in Paris. This begged the obvious question, why would a supposed suicide bombers all pack their passports with them on a one-way jihad? Or as my partner said to me earlier this week, maybe they needed a passport to buy beer later. Quoting the article again, public suspicion immediately went viral on social media as people pointed out how this anomaly directly mirrored similar false flag stunts on 9/11 in 2001 with MH17 airliner shoot down in 2014 and with the Charlie Hebdo shoot up last January. This seemed to force the mainstream media to pivot as they walked back the Syrian passport leg of their story, and they took rearguard action before the public copped on to what was likely a planted set piece at the scene of the crime. And I just want to depart from the text there and say, well, hell yeah. I mean, that was just, it's just really getting obvious. How many times does this have to happen? And yeah, it's the same stunt as the planted bullet on President Kennedy's gurney. And I don't care if it's not cool to talk about how President Kennedy was assassinated by forces in the Pentagon and the CIA, because that's what happened. I just don't give a damn. You know, it's been out and it's been truth long enough. Nor do I care that so many people are upset when you point out that it is physically impossible that the three skyscrapers were detonated into their own footprint on 9/11/01, that was a trick. It was a stunt. It was false flag. Oh, that's conspiracy theory talk there. It's just the truth. I'm just sticking with Newtonian physics, all right? The public, the official assertions of how that happened are just ridiculous because physics, just physics, not even particularly sophisticated physics. Sorry, just some number crunching there. Steel acts certain ways at certain temperatures. F equals MA, false flag stunt. Bull stuff. But returning to the article, at this point, the mainstream choir suddenly U-turned and claimed in unison that the Syrian passport was indeed a fake. But even then, the mainstream media still stood by the assertion that the alleged suicide bomber had sneaked into Europe from Syria undercover the West's cleverly engineered migrant crisis in Europe. So here we have once again, that's the end of that quote. And so here we have once again a helpful outcome to the empire, namely a way to avoid paying for refugees for the U.S. multi-decade war of terror in the Mideast, and it's all based on corporate-owned media repeating an hysterical and erroneous meme, frankly, a clearly intended misdirection. Yeah, right, the passport. Never mind that there is no refugee terror threat. Never mind that there is no refugee terror threat. Ban the refugees. Gods, it's enough to make anyone cringe. I mean, do you remember the MH17 passport scattered on the ground? That was so obvious. They were clipped. You could see that they were clipped. They were expired passports. They could not have been used for boarding the plane. They were unburned, undamaged. And just look at them, just spread out on the ground, all those passports. Oh, isn't it tragic how the passports prove that MH17, blah, blah, blah. And all that comes in the context of the, well, so far my commentary here is little more than the impudent refusal to forget. You are certainly supposed to forget these things. To forget that 9/11 was a stunt. Forget that U.S. oil-snatching evil created the horror in the Middle East. Forget, and most certainly and most importantly, fail to logically analyze things that you might disloyally remember. Don't forget to fail to logically analyze. So, for example, you may have seen the headline in USA Today stating, "France strikes back." And read that they, the French, are sending the Charles de Gaulle to bravely defend their nation. That's an aircraft carrier. And that bombing raids have been conducted by France using surgical bombs, of course, just like your surgeon throws during an operation, harming no innocents, certainly. You might think for a moment, if you were so disloyal and unpatriotic, to think that while you were humming along to the Marseillaise, since like me you don't speak a damn word of French, that these are the same French they were dismissed as surrender monkeys when they showed some reluctance to start this whole business of tearing people up in Iraq and Afghanistan some years ago. Or you might stumble on the realization that it takes weeks to provision something as huge as an aircraft carrier, even the rusty old Charles de Gaulle, and that preparations to shove the old tub off have been going on for quite some time. It's in the press. It hasn't been a secret. How handy that there is such an emotional charge to its departure. Oh yes, we wave with tears staining our scarves as our brave sailors leave the port. Vive la France! And the U.S. flags go down the flagstaffs, just as they did when Lebanon and Turkey got bombed by ISIS terrorists. Yeah? Oh wait, it seems that we didn't respond in the same way to Lebanese and Turkish deaths. We didn't hum their national anthems either. Funny that. So it does seem that the terrorists are being particularly helpful at the moment. There are many crises for the U.S. and its allies. I mean, my God, if they're not getting a paycheck from the Pentagon, they should sue. The Russians, for example, just popped into Syria and blew up ISIS supply lines, blew up ISIS fighters without so much as a buy your leave. Now, what are we supposed to do? The U.S. had to go ahead and shoot up the miles-long, undefended ISIS oil supply convoys, which have been there the whole damn time, once Putin pointed out that they existed and that someone, I'm looking at you, U.S. oil suppliers, was buying that oil. That's going to raise oil prices and lower supply, and someone's going to be unhappy about that. Things were getting complicated. Isn't it nice that we had a terrorist attack while this is all going on? And here in the U.S., we have Black Lives Matter activists. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Socialism. KBOO. Have you joined KBOO? Will you please? KBOO.fm. We have Black Lives Matter activists popping up and pointing out that the U.S. is still an apartheid state, really a slave state, if one is honest about mass incarceration and the handy, cheap labor it provides. I mean, isn't that true? Come on. It's a slave. This is a slave state. And if it were not bad enough for the ruling billionaires, there is, or maybe I should say there was, a great big conference on climate change to take place in Paris with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of demonstrators demonstrating that they exist and that they resent the hegemony of the oil industry, and they would like to live. They would like to live, please, on a planet which supports their breathing. Not anymore, because terrorists. We can't have people demonstrating their ideas in the streets of Paris when they might be terrorists. Or this is a bit of a stretch, but this is the implication, that they might be target for terrorists. So yes, we've got to look out for you so you can't express your ideas. Or that they might blow up their shoes or, you know, distract the brave soldiers from preventing terrorism. Yeah, that's it. No free speech. We're all afraid now and can't afford to speak. Everyone go home. Speaking of oil companies and free speech, Politico's reporter Kenneth P. Vogel has written an article exposing the Koch brothers' intelligence apparatus. That's right, the Kochheads have their own surveillance team. Quoting the article in part, the political network helmed by Charles and David Koch has quietly built a secretive operation that conducts surveillance and intelligence gathering on its liberal opponents, viewing it as a key strategic tool in its efforts to reshape American public life. The operation, which is little known even within the Koch network, gathers what Koch insiders refer to as competitive intelligence that is used to try to thwart liberal groups and activists and to identify potential threats to the expansive network. The competitive intelligence team has a staff of 25, including one former CIA analyst, and operates from one of the nondescript Koch network offices clustered near the courthouse metro stop in suburban Arlington, Virginia. It has provided network officials with documents detailing confidential voter mobilization plans by major Democrat-aligned groups. It also sends regular intelligence briefing emails tracking the canvassing, phone banking, and voter registration efforts of labor unions. Oh, the enemy. Don't forget to hate labor unions, because democracy in the workplace, well, that would be socialism. The efforts of labor unions, environmental groups, and their allies, according to documents reviewed by Politico and interviews with a half dozen sources with knowledge of the group. And this whole article is from Politico. They write, the competitive intelligence team has gathered on-the-ground intelligence from liberal groups canvassing events in an effort to assess the technology and techniques of field efforts to boost Democrats, according to the sources. And they say the team utilizes high-tech tactics to track the movements of liberal organizers, including culling geodata embedded in their social media posts. So yeah, you're being spied on by corporate America, by the Koch brothers, and they're not the first to do that, to be sure. But, you know, they're just so Koch brothers. And, you know, when they say on-the-ground intelligence, that means, God, you've got a ringer in your group. According to the New Yorker, I don't want to overemphasize that. You've got a ringer in your group is a great technique for subverting organizations. And one of the favorite techniques over the years of secret police organizations is the snitch jacket, in which something is left around to give you the impression that someone else around you is a spy. And it will be left by the real spy. According to the New Yorker, the spies with the Koch industries are called American Strategies Group, LLC. Now, I might sound a bit harsh on the Koch brothers, so if you'd like to hear the other side of the story, just turn to NPR's Marketplace, where you can hear Kai Rizdahl extol the virtues of the Kochs and tell you how they have brought themselves up out of hard times, barely squeaking through the 73 oil embargo, with their legs dangling over the wall of their house, which wasn't built. Ridiculous. And of course, this is nonsense, but the Koch brothers are very generous to national private radio. And you can hear how to order your copy of their book, the Koch brothers' book, The Good Prophet, or Good Prophet, on NPR every day now. From their website, good profit results from products and services that customers vote for freely with their dollars, products that help improve people's lives. It results from a culture which. Sorry, I just can't quote it with a straight face. So, this is Press Watch. The main point, once again, Bernie Sanders, oh my God, is going to talk about socialism. And the establishment is really afraid, and probably they should be. And you can link to that speech, New York Times, you know, find it with search engine, or you can pull up KBOO Press Watch on Twitter, where my latest tweet has that. So I'm going out to you by 90.7 and ever other FM frequencies on the physical transmitter and via the interwebs on KBOO.FM and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month is the amazing Nina Simone, showing Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. Nina Simone was one of America's true musical geniuses. With her unique signature mix of layering folk, gospel, classical, pop, and African music, along with a revolutionary vision of Black freedom, pride, and defiance. Again, that's the amazing and revolutionary Miss Nina Simone, showing as part of the We Real Cool film series on Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fogring, and the show is Fight the Empire, and my